Father God, we just thank you that you have brought Laura to us, to this church family. And Lord, we know that on Thursday night she was officially welcomed and officially ordained and inducted to White Inch. But Lord, just now with her church family, we just once again say welcome. Lord, and we thank you for the journey that we have been on, that Laura has been on, that has meant that she can be with us. And I just pray for her as she steps into this ministry. Lord, as she steps into the parish, as she gets to know people, gets to know the community around her, gets to know us, and gets to know others as well around here, Father, would you be with her? Lord, would you give her all that she needs? All that she needs, Father. Would you strengthen her? Would you equip her for the journey that's ahead? And Lord, as she speaks to us this morning, I pray that you would be with her again, that, Lord, her message would just sink deeply into our hearts. And again, that we would leave here differently because you have spoken to us through her. So be with her now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Oh, it is just so wonderful to be here today. Oh, what a journey it's been. And, oh, yes, I was getting quite emotional whenever when we were singing there. It just was coming over me. So I'm just so happy to be here with you all. Now, I will say, okay, what you see here today, right, I've only got two looks, right? So I'm either quite dressed up if I'm going somewhere, right? Or see if you see me outside walking the dogs, or going to the shops, or just stoting about, I will look like a scruff, right? So I'm warning you right now. You might actually go, is that the wee minister? Is that wee Laura? Yes, it is indeed. Yes. So just as a warning. So we will, I'm going to read for us two passages. So the first is Luke 3, and it's verses 1 to 6. So in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. And our second passage today is Philippians 1, and it's verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So friends, let's pray together. We thank you, God, for your richness. We thank you for the way that your light lets us see the world and its people. We thank you for diversity and difference in people and places. We thank you for signs and symbols and glimpses of your kingdom. We thank you for bolts out of the blue that reveal you to us, and for the tiny flame that offers us assurance. We thank you for your care through the hands of others, hands of family, hands of friends, and hands of strangers. We thank you that in others we see you, and that through seeing you, we see them in different ways. We thank you that in the wilderness experiences, you come to us, and that you come in word or deed, that you come in touch or gift, that you come in cacophony or whisper, but come you do. We are all your people here, all your children, all your flock, and for that, and for us, all you care, to you we give our thanks and our praise. Amen. So, as you can tell from looking at me, right, you can see that I'm not especially sporty, but I am passionate about horses, having been involved in equestrianism for a good number of years now. Now, people have quite a few misconceptions about the equestrian world, and they actually think it's, you know, quite elitist. But what I love about the equestrian world is that it is actually open to everyone. Young and old, no matter what your ability is, there is pleasure to be had at all levels in the equestrian world. So if you're a beginner, just getting on a horse, or a happy hacker, the occasional competitor, or a professional eventer, then, you know, there's a place for you. There are very few sports, actually, where people over 60 are still competing as elite athletes and winning medals. And if you have additional physical needs or development needs, or you're needing support with mental health, there is a place for you in the equestrian world, and so much pleasure to be had. There is a place for everyone, even a wee plump woman like me and my wee plump hairy pony, Chico. I've actually got two ponies, Chico and Lady, but Chico is my main riding pony. And some people, they think that the equestrian world, you need to have lots of money as well to do it. Now, it would be nice to have lots of money and be able to buy, you know, fancy ponies and all this kit that you need. But actually, you don't. Because the yard that I'm at, well, it's full of ordinary people like me. You know, you don't need to spend lots of money. And there are so many young people learning about horses by helping friends who have horses, or volunteering at riding schools, or the riding for the disabled, or mucking out at yards for exchange for riding lessons, or the opportunity to hack out horses. So you don't need a lot of money to take part in anything equestrian. It's a great leveller, that's what I think. Now, my wee pony Chico, he's small, like me. He's black, and he's a wee hairy cob, and he's got a white blaze down the front. And if I was really on the ball, I should have brought a picture in. But over time, you will see plenty of pictures of my horses. Now, Chico's not fancy. He isn't going to win any races or any competitions, but he is just wonderful. He's so loving. He's my best friend. He understands me. And when we're out riding, he protects me. We have fun together, and he's easygoing, and he's kind. And he gives me confidence and helps me to be brave and try new things. Now, the media and our society champions those who are thin and beautiful and successful. But we can't all be big, sleek, flashy thoroughbreds or Arabian horses in real life, can we? So horse riding has helped me accept who I am as a person and to see the beauty and the gifts of everyone that I meet. Because God made us all unique and he loves us all, no matter what we look like or our level of ability or success. So for me, equestrianism is a great equaliser as a sport, a hobby, a way of life, and that can truly be for everyone. But often, though, people don't realise this until they speak to somebody like me that's involved and is really passionate, you know, somebody involved in the horsey world. And then, you know, we can then tell people and show people that actually it's a place where everybody can belong. Now, in the Luke passage that I read for us, one of the important things that John the Baptist came to do, or was the most important thing that John the Baptist came to do, was to be a sign for all to see that Jesus, his message, his love, his kingdom, truly was and is for everyone. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. All mankind. Now, I read it from the NIV. And in the NRSV, it says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the Good News, it's the whole human race. And in the Message, it is simply everyone. All mankind. That little three-letter word is the key here. Now, in all four of the Gospels, the words of Isaiah 40, verse 3 are applied to John the Baptist. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. But it is only Luke who adds verses 4 to 5. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Luke's purpose is to emphasize the universality of the gospel. All and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. All mankind will see the salvation of God. And at the time of writing, Luke was writing this book. It was for a non-Jewish audience. And so Luke is quoting from Isaiah to show that salvation is for all people, not just the Jews. And how will they see the salvation of God? Well, through following and believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is for all. Jesus, who came and walked this earth and saw and felt what it was like to be a human, who knew what it was like to love, to mourn, to be brokenhearted, and who gave us the example of how to live, and who died on the cross to take away all our sins, and was resurrected so as that we could all have an eternal life with our Father God. Jesus is for all. He's for you. He's for me. He's for those that we like. He's for those that we don't like. He's for the weakest in our society and the powerful. like those that Luke mentions at the beginning of this passage, like Pilate and the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. Jesus is even for those who abuse their power and their privilege to oppress people, which can be, you know, difficult sometimes to get our heads around. But that's because Jesus can transform all hearts, even the hardest hearts and all lives, if we only let him. And whenever I was training for ministry, and I would do pulpit supply sometimes, every time I got to do pulpit supply, I would pick "To God Be the Glory" as my finishing hymn, because for these lines, because I just love it. To God, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And every time I sing it, I hear it, I say it, you know, the emotion just wells up in me. You know, just to know that love of Jesus, every time it just gets me. And Jesus is for all, even the outsiders who think that they're too broken, or they're not worthy, or they're not good enough. The outsiders that society ignores and leaves on the margins. In Matthew 9, verses 10 to 13, it says, when Jesus was having a meal in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and other outcasts came and joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. Some Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such people? Jesus heard them and answered, people who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. Go and find out what is meant by the scripture that says, it is kindness that I want, not animal sacrifices. I have not come to call respectable people, but outcasts. Now, many of us here today, myself included, have at times felt like outcasts, not worthy, not good enough, or just too broken. We think that the church isn't a place for us, that, you know, Jesus wouldn't want to know us. But then we're introduced to Jesus, and then we meet Jesus, and we allow him to into our hearts and our lives and to work in us, and we feel that power of his transforming love that is for everyone. That transforming love that heals broken lives and broken hearts and broken minds and broken relationships. Jesus is for everyone. And no one who wants to follow Jesus is an outsider in God's kingdom. This is the message that we are called to share. Because so many people need to know and feel that transforming love of Jesus. We just need to look outside on our streets. And just like the passion I have for horse riding, and we'll tell people that horse riding is for everyone. And because of the misconceptions that people have about the equestrian world, you know, people have that same misconceptions about Jesus and the church. And we, friends, we, all of us here at White Inch Parish Church, we need to be telling that message to everyone we encounter, that Jesus is for all. Sharing our own testimonies about how Jesus has transformed our own lives, sharing the good news of Jesus that is for everybody, no matter what your age is, your background, your finances, your abilities, any additional needs that you might have. What a gift that would be to people, especially now when we're in this season of Advent, that season of hope, of love, and expectation. Now, I want to share with you a wonderful example of evangelism that shows it doesn't matter what age you are. A couple of years ago, on my summer placement, I met a wonderful lady in a care home, and she was in her, we'll say, very late 90s, so she was. And she had been a faithful servant to her Lord and her church for all her life. And what she would do was, is every Sunday, she would get the staff to make sure that the live streaming from the church service was on. And then she would gather round all the residents. She was quite firm about this. She would get them there and they would all sit down and they would watch the service. And then she would ask them, you know, she would talk about Jesus with them afterwards. She was so full of encouragement and love of the Lord. Jesus is for all, and what every person does is equally important to God. Now, this coming week, friends, I would encourage you to think of what this actually means for you. And to think of one practical thing that you can do as a follower of Jesus that shows you consider every person to be of equal value to God. And also one thing that you can do, inspired by the example of John the Baptist today, to point the way to Jesus. And I got a wee prompting from God about this, that this, if this is something that actually you do regularly, you have to think of new ways to reach out to people, because God is calling us to come out of our comfort zones and to connect with people in different ways and to different people that you normally would encounter. People who really need to hear about the love of Jesus and that he is for all. Now, often the best way to influence someone is to pray with them or to pray for them, like Paul does with the Philippians. And friends, as we embark on our new season together, I pray with joy that we will be unified in the love of Jesus and that that love shines out into our community and our nation. Now, I know today, friends, that my message has been really simple, that Jesus is for all. And I did try to jazz it up. I tried to embellish it, but God was saying to me, nope, we're calling you back to basics, to remember why we follow Jesus, to remember what he and his love have done in each of our lives, and to be fired up and to be reignited and to go out and to share that love of the Lord with a world that doesn't think that it needs him. Because the pandemic and the lockdown has left so many of us disconnected, you know, some a bit sad, lonely, weary and tired. And actually, perhaps as well, it's taken a lot of our confidence away and it's inhibited us from reaching out to others to share of ourselves and our stories and our Lord. But friends, we know how badly people need the love of Jesus. You know, we can see the brokenness of the world in the news, on social media, in our places of work, in our community, and for many of us also, even in our own families. And God is calling us, each of us, to point the way. To point the way to Jesus, just like John the Baptist, who just said it like it was. Just that way to the healing, life-transforming, restoring love of Jesus. And it's also important as well, I think, to highlight that the lockdown and the pandemic has changed our worshiping communities. I've spoken to others, other ministers, and also seen it in other churches. And something I've noticed is that actually some people now are more passive. They're not as involved in the life of the church as they once were. It might be an after effect or of the disconnection and isolation that the whole world has experienced. But actually, I think there is a danger that we become consumers of God, especially seeing things online, you know, if we're just watching things, because we need the fellowship, we need that interaction, we need to be active in our how we worship and how we do God's work. Because there is a danger, I think, within the wider church of people expecting to be entertained instead of being God's revivalists or reformers or warriors or evangelists or disciples or teachers, leaders, prophets, pastors, hosts, whatever they're called to be. And as we get to know each other over the coming months, I'm encouraging each and every one of you, friends, to actively pray how God is asking you to be involved within our church. How might he be wanting you to step up and use your gifts for White Inch and for building God's kingdom in this new season here? I know that many of you have been active, but actually, I want you to consider if perhaps God is calling you to work maybe in another area of our church. You know, maybe something else, he's sparked something else in you. Or just how to use other gifts that you might have. You know, it might simply be that, oh, you're really great at, you know, football. Well, maybe there's something that we could do with the young people or the schools. You know, or you might be sitting there going, oh, well, but Laura, you know, all I can do is like make tea and like chat to people. Well, that's where so much is the, you know, of the interaction and fellowship and actual worship takes place. Whenever we're chatting with each other and, you know, having fellowship together. So hospitality is something that we really do need, because we need ways to encounter with each other and grow in discipleship with each other in new and different ways, especially post lockdown, where we're still not quite where we're at, where we were before. Now, when I was a wee girl, my granny told me that my gift in life was to love people. Now, coming from a big family of talented artists and musicians, I thought that that was a really rubbish gift to have. I didn't want to. I'm like, oh no, I want to be able to sing really well or paint or do something. I don't want to just love people. But actually, I realise now that that actually was the greatest gift that I could have been given. And I truly appreciate it for what it is. And I want you to know that I will love each and every one of you, and I will see the absolute best in you, and I'm going to encourage all of you to use the gifts that God has given you, each of you uniquely. And if I get a wee prompt, I will keep at you if I think that that's where the Lord is taking you. And in the words of Paul to the Philippians, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so as that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise. So we'll pray now. We'll pray, and I'm going to have different characters, people out there that we need to, you know, that need to know Jesus, and have him working in their lives. So let's pray together, friends. I am a person for whom faith in God has never been a problem. I have trusted in Christ for as long as I can remember. Coming to Sunday school and to church was never something I tried to avoid. and I have always read my Bible and said my prayers. But I long to have the heartwarming experience that others speak of and to be filled with their confidence in God. Pray for me. I am a person who finds faith in a loving God very difficult to accept. It's not that I don't want to believe. It's simply that I am confused when I see the anguish of my neighbours and the pain and suffering of innocent children. I cannot square the despair on the faces of the starving and the fear on the faces of the refugees and the tears in the eyes of grieving parents with a loving Creator. I long not for answers, but for an assurance that He is there and that He is love. Please pray for me. I am a person who always went to church. I enjoyed the fellowship and the worship. My faith in God was real and still is. I have not lost my faith. It's simply that I have allowed other things and other people to get in the way. I have allowed my work, my leisure activities, and my family and friends to come before my commitment to God. I have now simply lost the habit of worship. If only someone would make the effort to visit me and bring me back, it would be so much easier to return. Please pray for me. I am a person who feels guilty. I am aware of who and what I am and what I am not. I remember some of the awful things I have said and done, things I am glad no one else knows about, but I know God does, and I am ashamed. I know that He is a God of love, but how can He love me? I am told that He forgives sin, but will He really accept me? I long to feel new and clean for the first time in my life. Please pray for me. I'm a person who feels trapped. Whether my prison has bars or I'm locked in by doubts and fears, my anxiety or loneliness, I'm still a prisoner. I have tried to break out, but the harder I try, the worse it seems to become. The more I long for freedom, the tighter my bonds appear to be. I've heard that Christ came to set us free and give us abundant life, but I am still in my prison cell. Please pray for me. I am a person who feels deprived. I have never felt wanted or loved or that I mattered. I have often felt excluded and rejected, and have found it difficult to let others come too close. I feel isolated, even in a crowd, and I am threatened by other people's kindness. I begin to wonder if there's something wrong with me. I long for the loving, healing touch of Christ to make me whole. Please pray for me. I am a person who says I do not want to know God, that I have no need of Him, or just have too many doubts to take a step of faith. I have a hard exterior and appear to be extremely confident and coping easily. But I know that the emptiness, the frustration, and the despair I experience are very real. I need someone who will listen to my questions and take me and my concerns seriously. Maybe, just maybe, if I saw Christ in you and heard you speak his name, I might listen. Please pray for me. I am a person who is rather timid about my faith. I find it so much easier to live in than to tell others about Christ. I find it more natural to be a silent witness for God and to hope others can see his love in what I do. But I'm concerned that because he told me to speak of him, he has given me no alternative. I am not aware of anyone whose life has been changed because of the way I live, but perhaps it might be different if I also named his name. I long for the courage to witness for my Lord. Please pray for me. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.